Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us a special guest, Dr. Boyd Haley. He's professor of chemistry, chairman of the Department of Chemistry, University of Kentucky, a world expert on mercury and, of course, the problems we're seeing today with the vaccinations. You know, one in six American children today has either a neurodevelopmental and or behavior problem. And nobody has any idea how it's happening. An article a couple of days ago in the Wall Street Journal talking about how the incidence of allergy to peanut oil has doubled within a period of 4 or 5 years. And many times these are just lethal reactions that young people will get to peanut oil. But nobody has any idea why we should be having all these increases in allergies to peanut oil. They're just sort of happening in... the medical establishment is ignoring the possibility that maybe something we're doing to the people could bring these things on. But I think the most important thing we need to talk about is the relationship between mercury poisoning and the brain. And certainly there's nobody who's done more work on that than Professor Haley. Thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about how you got involved and how you became aware of the fact that there was a relationship between some of the developmental diseases in the brain that which you've been able to study, like Alzheimer's disease and mercury?
Well, you know, I started out basically I'm just a real hardcore, you know, biochemist, and I developed a technology that allowed me to monitor rather easily the changes in a certain type of protein, the proteins that convert energy into synthesis, etc., in the say a normal tissue versus a diseased tissue. And back about 1988, we made a major find that there were several proteins in AD brain that were uniformly and almost 100% inhibited in Alzheimer's disease brain versus normal brains. And then we started up with a search, and that research was, you know, highly accepted, lauded, praised, and everything else. But when I got into trouble was when I found out that the only thing that I could add to the normal brain tissue to make it look like an AD brain tissue, you know, testing out all the heavy metals, was mercury and only mercury. Now, other heavy metals would decrease the amount of mercury needed for its toxic effects, but they would not mimic it by themselves, such as mercury would. And since that time, there have been several publications, almost invariably done in European or in Canada, research universities, where they say I'm right. And what has today now is that mercury and only mercury will make all the aberrant biochemistry and produce the pathogenic hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. And yet, you know, people don't do it. Now, and it's mainly the American Dental Association, they want to say that exposure to mercury is not bad. And so with that background, I've been fighting them for a long time. Like I tell the one, right now it's like a 15-year argument with a town drunk. But when the thing came up with the Gulf War disease, Gulf War I, you know, where the American soldiers and the English soldiers, only those that took the American vaccines were the ones that got Gulf War. The French soldiers didn't take the vaccine. They don't have Gulf War problems. And so everyone was insinuating that there was something in the vaccine that must be causing that. And when some doctors who were doing a study contacted me, I told them to look for the thimerosal. I said, these soldiers are probably getting 9 or 10 vaccinations a day, as I did when I was a young soldier in 1964.
Will you hold that thought for you just a moment? We'll be right back here with Professor Boyd Haley. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is Professor Boyd Haley, who is Professor of Chemistry, Chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky, and certainly one of the world's leading experts on the influence of mercury on the brain. And we were simply talking about his work on, or his experience talking to people about the Gulf War illness. And one of the things, of course, we know that it was only the people who took the vaccines that got ill. The French did not give their soldiers the vaccines. They didn't get ill. The English, the Americans, and several other countries gave their soldiers multiple vaccines, and they became well. Somewhere between a third and a half of those young men will never be the same again. So you were saying that you talked to some of the researchers on this and mentioned thimerosal. Was there thimerosal, a mercury compound, in those vaccines?
Yes, there was, in the bulk of them. And when they presented this to the government kind of made fun of them, said there's no mercury in vaccines. We used thimerosal as a preservative, and they didn't even realize the people at the vaccine meeting where they held their initial discovery about, you know, requesting funds for this research. He said the government agencies didn't even know if thimerosal was in the vaccine, or if thimerosal was a neurotoxic compound. And they asked me to write them a letter. This was back in about 1997, 98, to send it to the government to tell them why I thought thimerosal was so toxic, which I did. And in that ensuing discussion, somebody informed a parent of an autistic child that I thought thimerosal caused Gulf War, and it was the mercury in the vaccine, and this was news to them, evidently. And so a group in at Louisville, a parental group of autistic children, invited me to give a talk, and then they encouraged me and got me invited to give a talk to the Defeat Autism Now conference about the toxicity of thimerosal. Now, at that time, I wasn't saying vaccines caused autism. And as a matter of fact, the first time I testified in front of the Institute of Medicine, I said, if indeed vaccines caused autism, the most likely cause would be the thimerosal because it's extremely neurotoxic. And then I started getting information, such as the amount of mercury that was given to a baby on the day it was born, you know, would be safe by EPA standards if the baby weighed 275 pounds.
They were giving about 85 times the maximum dose for that size and weight.
Yeah. And it's even worse than that, Stan, because that dose was determined by the Environmental Protection Agency based on data from the Faroe Islands and the Seychelles studies, where they looked at kids that were ingesting mercury from eating fish.
Hold that thought there for just a moment here. Well, Dr. Haley is talking about, of course, the problem that we have of injecting children with the thimerosal, and the thimerosal is an ethyl mercury compound, and we give it to them, at least we did until recently, on the first day of birth. We gave it to them in the nursery for a non-existent problem, which was hepatitis B, almost non-existent. The chances of the children dying, you know, getting hit by a meteor is almost, well, not quite, but pretty close to getting hepatitis B. So, very, very few children are going to get hepatitis B unless their mother has this, but they were giving it to all of the children. They were insisting on it. In fact, many times they'd even give it even with the parents' knowledge or consent. And of course, Dr. Haley was saying that, you know, the standards that were used, now they were giving a child something like 85 to 87 times the maximum dose that was allowed by the EPA for mercury for, you know, a child. But where did these statistics come from? In other words, where did the EPA get their statistics?
You know, they did it from looking at the populations that, you know, ate primarily fish as their protein source. And the point that your audience needs to understand is that, you know, we evolved eating bad food and drinking bad water, so most of the heavy metal protection we have in our body is located in our intestines, metallothionein. You know, two-thirds of it's there. It binds heavy metals, and you defecate it out instead of absorb it in your body. But when you vaccinate these children, you bypass the intestines, and you give these kids a bolus dose and bypass two-thirds of the body's protection. And I would also point out that when you do it on the day of birth, that's when the blood-brain barrier of the infant is at its most open stage, and things have access to the brain. That's when their kidneys function the least, and that's when they're not making bile, and it's the bile transport system, they call it the biliary transport system, in the liver that helps excrete heavy metals. If you're not making bile, you can't excrete heavy metals through your feces. And so these kids were given a double whammy. It was just absolutely a thoughtless, stupid thing to do.
And of course,
there is no excuse except they were more interested in selling vaccines to the American people than they were in protecting our children.
At an exorbitant price, and then of course they discounted them in other countries where hepatitis B really is a problem. So they sold us a bill of goods, and where was the U.S. Public Health Service to protect the children of America? Well, they were pushing this program so they could afford to sell them cheaper overseas, which they did, much about something like a 50th of what we were paying for it here. Anyway, of course, as this whole story develops, right, there seems to be a definite relationship between thimerosal and autism. Would you like to talk a little bit about Dr. Mark Geyer's work? He actually got into the CDC data bank, and of course, this is the one thing the CDC didn't want anybody to find about. Would you like to tell that story?
Well, sure. But I think one thing that your listeners ought to realize is that the CDC is absolutely and adamantly prevented anyone from getting access to the data bank to check on their contention that there is no increase in autism that corresponds to exposure to thimerosal. But Dr. Geyer got into the Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System, the VAERS database, and found a tight correlation. And then he got some help getting into the Vaccine Safety Data Bank and did the same thing. And, and what this is, what's amazing is that his studies are very similar to what the CDC's epidemiological study obtained that they never released. In other words, a long time ago, back in 1999, they had the first draft, of an epidemiological study done by someone they paid, and what it reported to them was that there was a direct correlation between thimerosal exposure and autism and autism spectrum disorders. We got all this information through the Freedom of Information Act, and you can read the emails going back and forth, and you can get the minutes of the meetings they had. And to make a long story short, all of the conversation there is symptomatic, of all the people on the vaccine board and the pharmaceutical company directors that made the vaccine, of a cover-up. They certainly didn't want the American people to know that they had caused this, what I would consider the major atrogenic disease in the United States.
Well, this is one of the greatest tragedies of all time. One in six American children either has a neurodevelopmental abnormality or a behavioral abnormality. And autism used to be very rare. It used to be about 1 in 10,000 children. And then, of course, with the advent of vaccines, autism is now, what, about 1 in 166 children?
That was the latest thing. That was put out by the CDC. So, if anything, it would be low because they don't like it being too high. Now, I would want to point out one thing. When people say it's safe, and they say our government agencies have looked into this and have decided that it's not causal, that was based on an Institute of Medicine report. We have the minutes of a meeting that the Institute of Medicine had with the members of that committee before they ever listened to the science. And in that, they make statements, again, that are just symptomatic of someone saying, you will not find anything wrong. The CDC wants to find this stuff safe. And so if you do find something wrong, we won't accept it. And this Institute of Medicine, when they came up with their decision, which was just totally clear, thimerosal, without presenting one biological experiment that indicated thimerosal would not do something like this, and putting a lot of emphasis on a Danish study in Denmark done by people who sell thimerosal-containing vaccines, which indicated that when you took thimerosal out, in other words, you remove a neurotoxin, and then the rate of autism went from about 0.2 per 10,000 up to about 4 to 5 per 10,000. You understand how ridiculous that is? You remove a neurotoxic exposure, and the rate of a disease goes up. And so these people just stack their data, and you find out that when you look deeply into this, what they called, quote, the IOM called a well-designed study, was actually a study that is so flawed that if one of my undergraduates could read that and not catch the flaws in it, I would tell them to get into another line of work besides science. This is just incredible. The rate of autism in Denmark, even with the increase, was 4 to 5 per 10,000, whereas in the United States, it was 60 per 10,000. So, in other words, as I tell my friends, This is like studying the effect of the Anopheles mosquito on malaria, but doing the study in Minnesota in the wintertime instead of doing it in Panama in the summer. I mean, and so, you know, they're not even good liars. They're not even good at manufacturing protection. That was a stupid thing to do. It's out there now for the world to see. And so what I can tell everyone, that IOM report, it was cut and a done deal when they set up that committee, and they knew it. It is nothing that is remotely would be considered sound science.
And this is one of the big problems of today, is that these people are actually prostituting science in the name of old scientific research. They're bringing in people who have a vested interest. Many of them have ties to the vaccine companies. I don't know about this commission, but I can tell you that they had a recent hearings on Vioxx. 32 people, 10 of them were on the payroll or had received grants or were dependent upon the drug companies. And, of course, they cleared Vioxx to be put back on the market by one vote. And if it hadn't been for the fact that they'd stacked the committee, why they would have outlawed all of the COX-2 inhibitors, Vioxx and Celebrex and Bextran, or at least the Bextran and the Vioxx, because, of course, they're killing people. But they simply covered up for that. They had a stacked committee, and I suspect this is what they had. Of course, the study and the Danish study showed an increase of autism, but there are other causes of autism. Some of them certainly seem to be related to the MMR vaccine that also seems to be related. Of course, they were given the MMR vaccine over in Denmark, weren't they?
Yes, that is one that I think the jury's still out on, if the MMR alone can cause autism. But what you can absolutely count on, you know, in this country, we gave the MMR, which contains the attenuated measles virus vaccine, on the same day, the same setting where they gave the child three other vaccines that contained thimerosal. Thimerosal is a potent suppressor of the immune system. And so you suppress the immune system and you put in a live attenuated measles virus at the same time. And what this does, this allows that virus to start replicating and causes symptoms in at least 75 to 80% of the autistic children, those symptoms being a lot of the intestinal problems. So there's no doubt that the measles virus is replicating in these autistic children, or about 80% of them, and it probably isn't helping their system very much at all.
Well, I think the frightening thing is the cover-up by the controlled media. And, of course, it was about a month and a half ago. There was articles, and it was almost as if somebody had given instructions. There were articles in Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine and U.S. News and World Report and ABC and CBS and NBC. Who could have coordinated something like that? And the basic theme was, gee, there's a real problem with autism. You know, this is really increasing, and one in six children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. But, of course, we can assure you that there's no treatment for it, and we can assure you there's no relationship to the vaccinations or thimerosal. Were you willing, I'm sure you must have been ready to almost just want to grab somebody and shake them when you saw that.
Well, it's been very frustrating when you know that it's not true. And the real sad thing about that is that, you know, right now, from the Defeat Autism Now doctors, the DAN doctors, and the Institute of, the Autism Research Institute in California, Bernie Rimland has instigated a think tank. And I know I was in on that from the very start, and I'm the one that pushed that we need to look at mercury toxicity. And as these doctors, you know, started treating these kids as if they were mercury toxic, and also, you know, just feeling and trying other things. You know, they found out that methyl B12 helps these children a lot, because we've also found out that, I mean, other researchers have found out that methyl B12 production is inhibited by thimerosal at really, I mean, 10 to the minus 9th molar concentration, which is exceptionally, exceptionally low. And so what we're finding out now is that you can treat these kids and you can bring them out of autism, diagnosis.
And I think
that's by treating them for heavy metal toxicity.
And I think if any of our listeners will go over there and pull out the Time magazine that we're talking about this. And the one thing they stressed was, well, it's not going to do you much of any good, and it really might be harmful if you try to get rid of the mercury from the child. It might hurt their kidneys or their liver. Well, I think it's going to do a lot more harm by destroying their brains. And why would they, all of the major news magazines have a coordinated effort to tell the American people a lie? Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Boyd Haley as we explore this tragic saga.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the went down off the eastern coast a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Professor Boyd Haley, a professor of chemistry, chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky, and certainly one of the people who's trying to awaken the American people to the very real danger we face. And one of those dangers are the mercury fillings that they're putting in our mouths. Now, a lot of people say, well, gee, those are solid. You know, they're not going to give off any mercury. Oh, there's nothing to worry about. And how do you respond to the dentists who say, why we've been putting mercury fillings into people for years?
They've been making people sick for years. It's just the problem is mercury is a retention toxicity, and when you get exposed to it, it takes you, you know, at the very least months to years, you know, to really succumb to that type of toxicity. But the one thing we do know, mercury is the most neurotoxic metal and the most likely neurotoxin that most humans would be exposed to. If you take a dental amalgam, you know, outside the mouth or in a tooth that's been in the mouth, and pull the tooth with the amalgam in it and check that chemically using just standard, very simple technology, you know, that just about, you know, a freshman in college can do, you will see that the mercury comes off of those amalgam fillings, especially if they're brushed with a toothbrush or placed in a hot cup of coffee. It'll come off at levels that anyone reasonable would consider toxic. The reason we think it's not is that the American Dental Association just flat lies to the American public saying it's not a toxic amount. And their spokespeople lie about the amount that comes off by estimating it. They don't ever publish a paper saying we measured it like this and here's how it comes off. They always use it through some means. In other words, they take someone, they look at the amalgams in his mouth, they estimate how many he has and how big they are, and then they measure in his urine. Well, the problem is, if you're a person that cannot excrete mercury, there'll be none in your urine. You're the one that's going to get sick. And what we found out in the last few years, I mean, especially the research that we did on the autistic children, is that they represent a subset of the population that can't effectively get the mercury out of their bodies, excrete it, and it builds up in their bodies, and that's the reason they have an adverse effect of these vaccines, where other children don't. And the same thing happens with the Alzheimer's patients. If you look at Alzheimer's patients, they are not excreting the mercury that they're exposed to, and it builds up in their, especially in their brain, yet it's very, very low in their fingernails, which is a measure of how much you're excreting. The autistic children have tons of mercury. They have a lot of mercury in their baby teeth that, you know, that are extracted in their bodies if you give them a mercury challenge test, yet if you try to measure the mercury in their birth hair, there's almost none compared to control children. And really, I think the major group that really needs to be straightened up here are the bureaucrats, not the individual dentists. They're just repeating a lie that they're told by, you know, the leaders of their organization. They really believe that these people are telling them the truth. But the bureaucrats in the American Dental Association, to protect themselves from lawsuits and from loss of face and from loss of credibility, are just flat lying to the American people.
Now, what about, of course, a pregnant woman, and if she's got dental fillings in there, is some of that mercury from the dental fillings, or if she drinks something hot, isn't that getting into her system, circulating through her bloodstream and then getting into the child, developing within her? Aren't children in her utero susceptible to mercury poisoning as far as their brain is concerned?
Yes, they are actually the most susceptible. Because in the study of women, of the mercury in the blood levels of mothers versus the cord blood of the infant, it's 1.7 times higher in the cord blood, showing that it concentrates in the uterus and in the fetus, as many animal studies have shown. And I would point out that the National Academy of Sciences and the Environmental Protection Agency have made the statements that somewhere between 8 and 10% of American women have such high mercury body burdens as to render any child they give birth to susceptible to neurological disease or effects.
Of course,
well, we're seeing the one out of six right now. And if you come back to that and you say, well, where is the mercury coming from? If you look at any study that's been done by scientists, not by a report by a group of dentists, but by scientists who have no vested interest, including scientists in the World Health Organization and around the world, they will tell you that the major contributor to mercury body burden is your dental amalgams.
And, of course, the tragedy is, you know, we hear all this talk, oh, we're so concerned about pregnant women, why they have to be concerned about, emissions from factories. They have to be concerned about eating fish. And nobody will mention that they've got a major source of mercury right in their mouth. And, of course, this is well known. But, of course, everything is done to conceal that. And the average obstetrician doesn't know. The average doctor doesn't know. The average dentist doesn't know. But the scientists do, and for one reason or another, why this information is not getting out. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Professor Boyd Haley. And, of course, we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, this is such an important subject because basically we're destroying a whole generation of children.
most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Professor Boyd Haley. We're talking, of course, about the effect of mercury, its effect on the elderly and the Alzheimer's disease, its effect on the young as far as autism and other neurodevelopmental abnormalities, because it's a whole spectrum of relatively new diseases, the ADD, the ADHD, and then so many children just can't read. Or they can't learn. They just have lost that capacity to learn. Nothing more toxic than mercury. And of course, we've been giving it to our children, you know, in the childhood vaccines. Now, they say they've taken it out. Oh, but you better get your child down for your influenza vaccine. And they've left it in the influenza vaccine. Dr. Haley, why would they have left a toxic substance, which they know is toxic, in a vaccine that they keep telling all six-month-old children, every six-month-old child should have that, an overwhelmingly toxic dose of influenza, of thimerosal in the influenza vaccine? Why take it out of childhood vaccines and leave it in the influenza vaccine?
You know, I don't have an answer. I just think it's criminal that they did it. I mean, this is just, you know, a bunch of thoughtless people trying to sell a vaccine that they had available. I can't believe that, you know, people trained that look at the literature and know what has come out of the inside there, couldn't understand that. And your audience ought to understand how critical it is to know the one scientific fact that males, you know, of all animal species, males are much more susceptible to mercury toxicity than are females. That the rate of autism is for boys to girls is 4-to-1, and going up the spectrum it increases, and when you get to Asperger's, the rate of boys to girls is 8-to-1. All of the diseases that you just mentioned earlier, you know, have a high preponderance of males, you know, versus females in getting that disease. And this is very symptomatic of it being, you know, mercury toxicity at low levels, because men become susceptible at much lower levels. And there was a doctor who absolutely has nothing to do with the thimerosal hypothesis in England, by the name of Simon Baron Cohen, who published research on the amniotic fluid of mothers that gave birth to autistic children. And the only significant thing he found was that they are carrying much higher levels of thimerosal. So these kids are born with a high level of thimerosal, the male hormone, and they get a shot of the male hormone is testosterone, and that day they get a shot that contains a high level of thimerosal. In our studies, when we take neurons in culture and we start killing them with low levels of thimerosal, and we measure what will protect or what will increase the toxicity, we find out that the female hormone protects against thimerosal-killing neurons, whereas the testosterone dramatically enhances the toxicity of thimerosal. So this all makes a lot of sense.
Well, now, Chris, what about the possibility of helping people who have Alzheimer's disease? Is there anything that can be done to slow down the progressive destructive effect of Alzheimer's, or even to reverse that at all?
You know, if there is, we don't know it now. I know. I wish I could hold out, you know, some hope. But unless unless you can get NIH or other people to agree to even consider the fact that these people might be mercury toxic, that it might be the mercury that has accumulated in their bodies over the years, you'll get no study. See, that would take a tremendously large clinical study, you know, using many different medicines and many different approaches. And you will not get that study done as long as the American Dental Association controls mercury toxicity studies from the National Institutes of Health.
And I really think that really is what's so tragic, is that we have an organization that has a vested interest in concealing the truth from the American people. Could you imagine what would happen if suddenly this was accepted? Now, I'm not saying the dentists who put in mercury fillings are at fault, but I believe that the organizations that have been telling them it was perfectly safe, the dentists, if they realized they'd been lied to and they'd been hurting people, they would turn against their leaders. And the leaders are not going to have that happen.
Well, you know, they have turned against them. I mean, the use of dental amalgams has dropped dramatically, even though the American ADA, Dental Association says it's safe. It's dropped dramatically. Many dentists who can read papers or go to meetings do stop. I mean, it's mainly the older dentists who don't want to go find other, how to place other fillings, such as the composites, that fight this. But your audience should know that in Sweden, you know, they did a study on 700 people with dental amalgams and who had been diagnosed with neurological disorders. They did a measurements of their blood level, their urine levels. They did a complete health history on them. They removed their amalgam fillings, placed them with composite fillings, and then 3 years later they reevaluated these people. And after removal of their fillings, around 70% of them so said they had major improvements or had totally lost their neurological problems. Small percentage of them didn't change. But with that study, they've expanded that study in Sweden, and Sweden now has, you know, the following rules with regard to their socialized medicine. They will not pay to have amalgam fillings put in your mouth anymore. They will pay their citizens a bill if they go have their amalgams replaced with composite fillings, because they think they'll save money on the other end by not having days of work lost or having to have these people become ill. So Sweden has really looked at this very hard, and there are many European countries that are following their lead by at least saying you do not put amalgams in the mouths of children and pregnant women. And yet in the United States, we're using these children. We have a couple studies going on sponsored by the National Institutes of Dental Research where we're taking children and doing this, and I'm sure like everything else, they're not going to find anything wrong, because could you imagine the decision if they were to come out and say, oh, mothers, we're sorry we put amalgams in your kids, and we dropped their IQ by an average of 5 or 10 points. They're not going to admit that. They're going to find no effect, just like they found in every study they've done when they do the study. It should not be done by dentists. It should be done totally independent of anyone that controls the dental organization. And you're talking about control of the media and control of anything else. That's how they do it. The dentist control committees from the CDC, the FDA, and they get the committees to give them an action because they construct those committees and then they release their results. And it's a fine way to control the media by just going into the FDA and say, well, we're going to have a committee look at this and then handpick the people you're going to put on the committee.
Well, I think it's so interesting. I'm sure you read Dr. Blaylock's paper about the secret government meeting, and I've forgotten when it was, maybe 2000, 2001, but he'd gotten actually a copy of the minutes of that meeting through Congressman David Weldon, who's a physician. And basically, they got all these experts together, and they, I think there were 51 of them, 55 of them, something like that, and they went through all the records as far as the relationship between thimerosal and, of course, autism and all the neurodevelopment abnormalities, and they decided that there was a real problem. They all agreed, but they were going to keep it secret. They were not going to let that information out. And when the report was actually published three or four years later in the Journal of Pediatrics, the doctor, who by that time happened to be working for Galaxo, who actually produces these vaccines, these poisonous vaccines, why he said that, why the meetings, they came to the conclusion there was no relationship at all. And yet, if you read those minutes, and we have them, and I think they're actually published now in Nexus Magazine, or at least the paper. Have you read that paper, Dr. Blaylock?
I read Dr. Blaylock's paper, but I've also read the original minutes of that meeting. This is called the Verstraten meeting that was held at Simpsonwood State in Norcross, Georgia.
And about 2000, 2001?
2001.
And they knew that there was that problem. Right. And they left the thimerosal and the vaccines because they didn't want to rock the boat.
And they didn't want to tell the American people that there was a problem here. And so what they did is they kept manipulating the data. You see, that's what the people at Safe Minds, Mark Blaxall, has looked at that data. That's called Generation 1 data. And where they showed a significant risk of autism if you were exposed to thimerosal. But that was after they already had cleaned the data up a bit. And when you go back to Generation Zero, which they had talked about in 1999, and we got that from the Freedom of Information Act, the risk was even higher, much, much higher. And how they dropped that risk, Stan, is one way, which your audience will understand, is a cheap trick. And that's that, babies are not diagnosed as autistic until they're about 4 years old. So if you put in a lot of babies in your study and keep them in there that are a year old, or 2 years old, those people aren't diagnosed with autism yet, so they dilute out the effect. So if you do the study right, you say, we're only going to consider children that are old enough to have been diagnosed if they are sick. And when they did that, they found a huge increase in the autism risk. But then they said, oh, well, let's put in the 1 and 2 year olds, and we'll drop that risk. And that's exactly what they did, and they dropped the risk down, but they could never totally get rid of it without the, doing some things that most epidemiologists would really consider very dishonest.
But it is dishonest to manipulate the figures to come up with a conclusion you want. Well, it's the old adage is that figures don't lie, but liars do figure. Let's go to Fred, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred.
Yes, I just wanted to tell your guest that I don't know if he knows about it yet, but Senator Boxer and Senator Nelson from Florida just got the new EPA administrator, his confirmation stopped when they found out that the EPA and the chemical companies have gone down into Duval County, Florida, and offered a group of people down there $950 and a camera to let them go in and spray their homes with pesticides on a 2-year study to check the effects of the pesticides on their less than 1-year-old children and to check the effects on their neurological system.
Yeah, well, I think that that's criminal activity in some of these things that they're doing.
I didn't know that.
I just want to let people know that this is going on, and I don't know if he's aware of this yet, but it's hot right now, and this man that's trying to get into the EPA is nothing but a downright criminal.
All right.
And he said that he still after they found out about it, they still wouldn't stop the study.
Thank you very much, Fred.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Well, I think that there are some terrible things that are going on in our country. We can go into the plutonium studies, where, of course, they were feeding these poor kids in the orphanages, the plutonium, but we don't want to get off on another subject. There are so many things that right now we want to pretty well stick with our mercury. If you have a question for Professor Haley, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Alzheimer's disease is on the rise all across America. And of course, more and more people are dying of Alzheimer's disease. Autism is on the rise all across America. A dramatic increase from 1 in 10,000 children to about 1 in, at the present time, down about 1 in 166. But there are many other diseases in this spectrum. What is this Asperger's disease you speak of?
Well, it's what, you know, some people call it high-functioning autism. You know, if you saw Rain Man, the movie Rain Man,
right,
this would be a close to an example. I'm not an expert on, you know, on laying people out, but Asperger's are people who really are socially and very inept. I mean, you know, they don't make very good friends. They're very much into themselves, but they're very functional workers. Matter of fact, they're very good workers, and many times they have incredible talent, you know, in certain things. So they can make a good living, they can live out, but they almost never have a good social life.
All right, well, let's go to Chris, who's calling us from Kentucky. Hi, Chris, did you have a question?
Yes, I wanted to thank Dr. Boyd Haley on this issue. I went to the dentist recently, and I wanted to bring this up, and they just, like you said, they seem to be so in such, well, we're taught that mercury's good, the American Dental Association tells them this, and I did receive your 4-tape set on the mercury toxicity. It's an excellent 4-tape set, and I encourage everyone to get this.
And we have a video. We have a video too that shows the smoking tooth. It actually shows one of these teeth heated to about 105 degrees, which is of course what you do when you're drinking hot coffee, and you can actually see the fumes coming off of it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, okay, thanks so much, Chris. But
thank you.
You've got to get your dentist educated. I got my dentist educated. It changed his whole life. And if you could convince your dentist of the truth about fluoride and about mercury, why, he one day will thank you.
Yes, I will. And I'm going to keep going with it.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My response, and this is what he's talking about, is what I call the high priest theory of knowledge. You know, these people know things because the high priest told them. This is a problem with a lot of our medical and dental establishment. They're overworked. There's no doubt about that. But they know things, and they depend on the CDC and the FDA to give them, you know, correct answers and to tell them what's a safe medicine and not. And so when they say, and I can't tell you how many of them I talk to, they say, we know this stuff is safe. And when you push them, they haven't read a paper. They haven't looked at any of the science. What they base their opinion on is that the high priest told them it was safe. And see, if you're going to put doctor in front of your name, and when an issue becomes as contentious as mercury toxicity and exposure, you better be reading. You better get your study groups together and look at this and educate yourself, because there comes a time when the government and especially the courts will say, this has been around, this contention's been around for a long time, and you just believed what you wanted to believe because it was convenient, and you're going to lose when you go into court.
Amen to that. Well, I don't blame the dentist. I blame him not for what he's done, but for not being willing to look and try to determine whether maybe one of his patients knows more than he did. I know when I was practicing medicine, it was very, very difficult for me to admit that one of my patients could be smarter than I was, but the older I got, the more I listened to what they had to say. Let's go to Sarah Jo calling from New York. Hi, Sarah Jo.
Hello, Dr. Stan. I have one quick question because I know time is running out. My granddaughter's my grandchildren have had all their vaccines on time, 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever on up. And I've noticed that my, first of all, my oldest granddaughter, who's 7, has a lot of either allergies or sinusitis, or the doctor diagnoses it as asthma. Is that also caused by, I know that immune system breakdown is caused from vaccines, but
do you want to comment on that, Dr. Haley?
But, you know, I couldn't say that, you know, I have absolute data or red papers that absolutely show that asthma is caused by exposure to thimerosal. But it is a plausible hypothesis that just no one has been given the money to look at, and the NIH certainly hasn't looked at it.
The one thing
I would tell these people, the one thing that is simple and easy, and you know you can try it and it doesn't cost much money, that seems to help a lot of the autistic children dramatically, and that's to use methyl B12. It's a vitamin, and you can buy it at the counter, and you can use it sublingually. But and you can get vaccine, you can get a shot for it also. But it's called methyl B12, and it really seems to help a lot of these children. I don't know what it would do with asthma because I don't think people have ever looked at it.
But Sarah, so what you do when you vaccinate the child, you prime the immune system with the adjuvant. So there's a shocking increase of all sorts of allergies and asthma among our children. Thank you so much for calling. And Dr. Haley, thank you so very much for being with us, our guest, once again. Dr. Haley, thank you so much for being our guest.
You're welcome. I appreciate the talk, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. Oh, well, I guess we have one more minute here where we can tell you a little bit about some of the items that we have, which we hope that many of you want to get the background. We have a great four-tape set on water fluoridation. We have another update on water fluoridation. We have a DVD on water fluoridation. And do you realize that what they're putting in your water is not simply hydrofluosilicic acid they're putting in? It contains in addition to lead and arsenic and cadmium and polonium-20, it contains fluoride. But this is what they're using to fluoridate your water. And most dentists, most people you would talk to would say, why, they wouldn't be putting all those things in the water. Why they wouldn't allow that sort of thing. And yet the dentists are pushing water fluoridation. They don't even know what they're putting in the water. And 90% of the communities that are fluoridating the water are using hydrofluosilicic acid. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Dr. Boyd Haley, Professor Boyd Haley. And you can get copies of this program. You need to get them. Now, we have an excellent four-tape set on mercury. We are making up another four-tape set, which will be available very, very soon, to bring you up and give you the latest information on what's really going on and how they're poisoning our children, how they're poisoning our elderly, and they know what they're doing. I mean, there's no question at all. One reason, of course, we're getting so much Alzheimer's disease is because they're insisting on giving our elderly influenza shots that have toxic doses of mercury in them. And the studies, and we have the studies of Dr. Pudenberg, who is the dean of vaccinologists in America. You can go to his website, Fudenberg, and read his articles on his abstracts, actually, in the abstract section, on the influence of mercury and Alzheimer's disease. Or if you can't find it, we'll be glad to send you a copy of the abstract. And if you are between 60 and 65, and you take 3 to 4 influenza shots over a 5-year period, 10 years down the line, why, your incidence of Alzheimer's disease will be up 1,000%. They know that. They just don't want the elderly to know that. That's why they're so anxious to give them to them. In fact, this last year, why, when they didn't have much in the way of vaccine, we had a very mild season. In other words, we didn't get everybody vaccinated, and lo and behold, there wasn't very much flu. I wonder whether there was any relationship between it. Well, we have a great 4-tape set on mercury. We have a video on mercury. We have information on aspartame. We hear all this talk about the obesity epidemic. One reason we have an obesity epidemic is because NutraSweet produces pathological lesions in the brains of animals, and we assume in the brains of human beings too, where you can't get the weight off. There's a pathological lesion that's actually created because of the NutraSweet, which affects your intelligence, it affects your endocrine system, it affects every aspect of your body, creates tumors, creates... And people say they wouldn't allow something like that in the market. Of course they would, if they had a different agenda, and an agenda you don't want to know about. Well, you need to get our 4-tape set on NutraSweet. You need to get the book, Excitotoxins, the Taste That Kills, and the video that goes with that. And then, of course, we have the 4-tape set on fluoride, and an update on the 4-tape set on fluoride. We have an excellent DVD on water fluoridation, and then we have the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That has a section on water fluoridation. It has a section on mercury. It has a section on aspartame. And you'll get more information out of that one book than you'll get out of most books that you're going to read. So that's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. A section there on vaccinations. A section on how you can actually increase your immune response and protect yourself. And, of course, the key to being healthy is to have a healthy immune system. And so much of what you are taking today and you're being given today is designed to poison your immune system. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Rosa Blaylock, a book we strongly recommend. And, of course, we do actually have a 4-tape set with Dr. Blaylock called Life-Saving Secrets. That's Life-Saving Secrets. So our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, if you would like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, let me suggest last November, which, of course, goes into water fluoridation. Or the December is Dr. Hersey's testimony. He's a PhD, works for the Office of Drinking Water Safety at the EPA. The testimony he gave before the Senate in September of, was in the year 2000, totally blacked out by the controlled media, because the last thing they want the public to know is that they're poisoning their children. Again, that's the December newsletter. We'll send it to you happily free of charge. And, of course, we hope that you'll read it and make copies and help us to get the truth out. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.